This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My guest tonight on Bent Notes is a composer, an arranger, a musical director, a trombone player, a pianist, an educator. I think he might play trumpet as well. He has a band with an acronym for a name, which suggests that we might be going to the bank. I'm not quite sure about that. I've got to find out. It's my pleasure to introduce to the Bent Notes studio, Andrew Murray.
Hello. Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure indeed, Andrew. It's great to have you in studio. It's been a few years that I've known of you around Melbourne, but we've never actually met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been listening to your program for a while. And yeah, like you say, we're just discussing how you can be in a scene for so long and know that people exist and they're there, but you just never cross paths for so long. It's really crazy. I guess it's a sign of a good, big, healthy scene in the city.
It does suggest that there's enough people around that you don't actually get necessarily have to meet all these people, because there's enough to keep the clubs going and keep activity happening around the place, which is great to see.
Yeah, that's right. It's nice to be involved in it, and spend most of your time feeling bad about not getting out to see not only your friends, but all these people that you don't know.
Yeah.
That they still exist.
And there are so many gigs on each and every night of the week. It's amazing. Let's take time back a little bit. I think this is a cue for some music from a time tunnel or something. But was music an integral part of your life when you were a child?
Yeah, totally. I guess it started when, as early as I can remember, really, touching my granddad's piano, actually, and just being really drawn to the sound. And he was a musician, and I don't know whether I instigated it or not, probably not at that age, but maybe my parents did. I got my granddad to start teaching us piano. So he taught all my family. I'm one of six kids. He taught us all. It was pretty relaxed, but enjoyable. And that's piano's continued on since then. It's always been there, and we grew up playing in brass bands and concert bands, so had some instruments put in our hand, and yeah, always instruments lying around, so picking them up and having a crack.
What better way to learn an instrument than about to just pick it up, have a blow,
yeah,
and say,
really,
oh, it works or it doesn't work, and take it from there.
And same through high school, actually. There was always like instruments lying around, and that people were needed to fill those spots. So just, I don't know, I kind of got experience playing a bit of electric bass that way and drums that way.
I'll just add that into the intro again.
Don't tell you. I see that you brought up my dirty past of playing trumpet as well.
Yes, I saw that in some of the research I did.
Oh, right, you delved deep then.
Well, a little bit. I like to go just a little bit below the surface. Yeah. But I saw that you teach trumpet, and I thought, well, that means you've played trumpet.
Right, okay. Well, I mean, from probably how old would I be? When I first started doing the concert bands or brass band stuff, which is really young, played trumpet, I reckon, for maybe about 15 years all up, right up until I did a diploma in it, and then my first year of my degree, bachelor degree, I was on trumpet. But for lots of reasons about me having issues with the instrument, I had to put it down before I went completely insane and try to forget about it.
What did you change to?
Oh, now I've landed on valve trombone, so it's not too far away. It's like a trombone, but instead of having the slide, it's operated by the three buttons that you see on a trumpet, the valves.
That's not as much fun if you're a trombonist and you're standing behind the saxes. You can't just hit them in the head all the time.
Yeah, well, if they're really annoying, I just throw the whole instrument at them, and that shuts them up pretty quick.
So why did you go for the valve trombone as opposed to the standard slide?
At the time, I mean, I was just really drawn to the sounds of trumpet improvising. Their lines, to my ears, were very different to, say, the way slide. So the instrument kind of dictates that a little bit. With a slide trombone, you kind of have to work around the way that the instrument's created. Trumpets, or the valves, I guess, are a bit different, so they generally play in a little bit different ways, I guess, or it sounds different anyway, the way you articulate. And
slide certainly means that there's more of a legato movement between the notes as opposed to the...
Yeah, it's too much hard work as well.
Valves.
I mean, poor old slide trombonist. I can't be bothered doing that. I'll just keep my hand in one position and have fun.
Well, yes, I suppose that is one of the challenges of playing trombone. Now, I've just realised, of course, that you're in here tonight on a very special day, so I think we should say this.
Yeah, Is that Louis?
Yeah. Happy birthday, Andrew. It's Louis Jordan.
Yeah, Louis Jordan. Yeah. Oh, man, that's the best present I've had all day. But don't tell my daughters.
No, I won't. I won't tell them at all. But I thought I should do that to recognise that you've actually interrupted your day. And I'm very, very appreciative that you've come in to chat on your day. Birthdays.
Mm.
Music and birthdays, is there anything there? This is when you make up a question on the fly.
Oh, right. Well,
you have no idea whether it's going to work or not.
Well, in my big band, 18 and 15, we've got a chart that we play that I arranged, which is Happy Birthday. And, yeah, generally there's a... I haven't pulled that out for ages. This reminds me, maybe I should do that. But, whenever there was a member of the band that was having a birthday, we'd play that chart for them, or someone's in the audience. So it's always nice to have that handy, and it's a really... fast tune that gets everyone excited. So,
it would do indeed. Now, is there a particular music teacher that you recall from your years in primary and secondary school that was instrumental in encouraging you into the music side of things?
Well, my granddad initially played a big part, probably still does.
Was he a teacher as well?
No, he wasn't a teacher. He kind of had. He was from England, and he played in the swing era, playing double bass and trombone and stuff, and maybe piano as well. But he kind of, when he moved to Australia, I think he almost gave up or stopped doing most of the music stuff. But yeah, it's kind of funny now that in a roundabout circle, I've come back to be involved in big bands, which was what he was playing in at the time when he met my grandma. So I find that funny when I think about it, because I wasn't ever setting out to be a big band guy, really, to be honest. But then after him at high school, it would be probably a guy called Bob Sterling. He was the teacher at the time. He was always really nice and encouraging to our family. And then after that, Doug McKenzie is this great piano player down in Geelong.
Yes.
He was so great. I did the second instrument study was piano for me, and Doug was just such a great teacher. He was able to come down to anyone's level and teach basically exactly what you needed for the level that you were at, and just give you those little bits of information just to take you. I mean, the stuff that he's taught me, I've never really had lessons in piano, but the stuff he's taught me has kind of made me a little bit almost competent enough to probably do a gig.
Oh, wow.
So, if anyone wants to book me on piano, I am available.
Oh, that's good to hear, Andrew. Very good to hear indeed. In addition to playing music, you teach a whole lot of musical activities, and it's a huge list. Composition, keyboard, piano, trombone, oral ensemble, songwriting, trumpet, theory and jazz. Improvisation, VCE music exam. I had a breaking page there. That's a whole lot of things to teach.
That's probably me just ticking every box and hoping that someone will come to me to get lessons.
Now, composition lessons.
Yeah,
fun. I've never thought of that before.
No, it's really fun. I love doing it. It's something that I've been involved in, like creating for a long time, is composition. So it's really awesome to chat to someone about it.
How do you teach composition?
Kind of, I mean, it's a case-by-case basis. Depends on what the person is doing. But generally, they come to you with their own music composition, and they usually have concerns about their chart, their song that they are struggling with, or they're just trying to figure things out, and it's a big thing to try and understand. So there's lots of elements that go with it, like from the basic things like orchestration, so how to write properly for the particular instruments, how to combine them. There's also, it covers all the music theory side of things as well, because you have to understand harmony and et cetera, et cetera. Then there's things like notating, so how to use the software properly. Then there's software. Other bigger things, like Sibelius. And then other bigger things that you don't even think about when you're getting into composition, which is actually getting it played and how to organise bands and put them together and the things that are involved when you have to do all that kind of stuff just to get the music out there.
The practicalities of that side of things.
Mm.
Because composition is something that's never really struck me as something you teach.
Well, it's certainly not something that people assume you go have one-on-one lessons with. It's definitely something that people probably go, I can go to university, for example. But, you don't see heaps of one-on-one, like, say, private lessons you do with instruments. You don't see heaps of that with composition. But, it's always been around there. If you look at people like Quincy Jones and stuff like that, they were off getting one-on-one composition lessons with this, what's her name, Nadia? I can't remember her name. Nadia Bullinger, I think her name was, or something. She's well-known as being a great composition teacher, so...
So you're following in good footsteps then.
I wish I had lessons with her. I'd say that.
Well, Andrew, the time is moving on, and I think I'd like to hear some of another piece from your album, the brand new album called New Works from the ATM 15 Big Band. ATM 15, when you first run that off, it's an acronym that suggests that you hand out cash.
Yeah, yeah.
I assume you don't.
I usually, after the gigs, I make the joke that we've run out of all the notes. So.
Oh, I love that. That's very good. Now, ATM, I can understand Andrew Murray.
And the T is just my middle name, Thomas.
Okay.
And then at the time, there was 15 people in the band, which is no longer the case.
I wondered about that.
But once you, I don't know. I don't even like the name, to be honest, anymore. But when I was starting the band, which was over 10 years ago, I just had to go with something. So I went with that. I think I was copying someone else at the time.
Oh, right.
And then, yeah, I mean, the further you go down the track, the harder it is to change. Because if I was to change it now, then we have all that history. And it's like, what? So I have to start again? And I don't know.
Well, let's have a listen.
Stuck with it.
Yeah, let's have a listen to the band that you're stuck with, the ATN 15 Big Band, a piece called Two Cares. Is there a story behind Two Cares? The name suggests
it. Yeah, there is. Two Cares. All right. A lot of the music that I probably wrote on the CD was could be interpreted in lots of different ways, which was always the plan. Two Cares probably had a couple of things. One of them was at the managing being a parent and trying to do that as best you can with pursuing a hobby, pursuing music, I guess, or an art form that is quite demanding, I guess, to exist financially mostly. So trying to manage the two things without mucking any of them up and how exhausting it can get, and often the feelings of wanting to not have two big issues in your life.
A huge juggling effort. Andrew, let's have a listen to the ATM 15 Big Band, your big band, and a piece called Two Cares.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Andrew, when did you start your own jazz orchestra, the ATM 15, and why the ATM 15?
So I think it was roughly about 2006. I just moved back from overseas. I was studying over in Austria composition, and then just chatting with my professor over there who was trying to convince me not to come back to Australia because he's like, you're not going to get any work. It could be the end of your like composing thing. Or anyway, chatting to him about that whole process, he really strongly encouraged me. Well, it had to happen. I had to start my own band to play my own music that I'd been working on and studying about. And yeah, he just encouraged me to just work as hard as I can to write as much as possible and play as much as possible. So moving back to Australia, back to Melbourne, that was the progression that happened. Started the band up in 2006, and it was, yeah, for a vehicle to write for, to play music and try and learn.
Did you start it up because you thought it would become a gigging band, or was it more a let's try this music out type band?
No, definitely for gigging. Yeah, the whole process of rehearsing and then performing is all part of the, well, in my head, part of the equation of getting better at doing the music.
And I suppose you do need, if you write something, to actually hear it performed, not just
rehearsed.
Yeah,
you learn so much about it. And also, not only just being in the rehearsal context, but the music being performed in a live context, like at a gig, as well. I think I would have lost a fair bit of my own education through experience if I never did the live, the gig aspect of it, just the rehearsal aspect of it.
In your mind, was it always going to be big band composition, big band music?
Probably when I first started studying composition at uni, yeah, I guess so. I was naturally drawn to the big band. In a jazz context, the other options are like, what would they be? I mean, you don't start a quartet unless you're playing in it. As a composer, you don't just write for a quartet in jazz generally. You could, but most people don't. Then you've got like a nonet, like a 9-piece or an 8 or a 10-piece or anything like that, which is okay. Some people kind of lead their bands at that size, but generally they're still playing in it. So when I was starting, I kind of didn't have a playing instrument. I was new to the trombone and my skills probably weren't that great. As an option as a composer, one of the only outlets was the big band. And I love big band music. That's how it happened.
Did you look to any of the big in name big bands as inspirations for your band, or were you looking really just at what you'd been composing and how to get that across to the audience?
Well, musically, I guess when you start doing it, you kind of don't really know what you're doing. Often in your head, you're like, oh, I want to try and make something music that kind of sounds like this, that you're inspired by. Then when you actually try and do it, it never ends up sounding anything like that anyway. So over time, it's a series of those kind of processes. And yeah, it was really just doing lots and lots of music and trying to figure out how these things sounded when you were trying to create them and the feedback that you get when the band plays them and learning through that process. So musically, I guess it was a series of different inspiration to try and write in their particular kind of style, or all those inspired by their styles, I guess, a little bit initially. And that took a long ages, like 8 years or something, to get comfortable with the whole ensemble and writing for them, so that I felt like maybe I had a bit more freedom to explore, or maybe not try and write like someone else, but more listen to the music that was coming from inside me. But then as a band and an operating band, the inspiration was probably closer to home over in Perth. Mace Francis runs his MFO band, and while I was studying at Whopper, he was basically kind of doing what I'm doing here. Well, he was my inspiration. I wouldn't even thought that you could run your own big band. I didn't understand how you could get all those people to show up for no money and write your own music and play gigs and tour with them and record. It's that classic thing of, if you don't see it, you don't know it's possible. So yeah, that inspired me. I was like, oh, okay, cool. It can be done. Let's have a go at trying to do that.
Was it important that you didn't copy the big bands, and that you went down your path?
Good question. When I am doing it, it's just such a huge investment of everything, like time and when you're writing and running a big band, that I kind of didn't see the point of trying to either play someone else's music or cover it. It's like, well, if I'm going to do this, let's just try and make it my own music, because it was my one opportunity for a creative outlet to create something and be part of the music scene, which I was really passionate about being involved in.
Getting right into it and doing your thing.
Yeah, hanging out with... Well, I mean, it's similar to like a horn player or an instrumentalist. What they want to do is they want to play every night. They want to be out there hanging with musicians, playing music, improvising, figuring out their own stuff, getting better through that process. And it's exactly the same. That's what I wanted to do, but it's just through a big band.
Now, you have recorded a couple of albums, and the latest one, which we've heard a couple of tracks from tonight, is called New Works. Mm. Obviously, newish music, not been around for very long, but you've taken an approach of essentially just creating one 50-minute suite as opposed to 10 individual songs. What was the reason for going down that path? Is there a particular driver that's hit you to say, I want to try this?
Mm. I think a lot of the time, in your development with music, a lot of it's the thought process, like thinking about things outside of the actual doing of it. So with big band, with composing in general, you're kind of handling momentum over a specific period of time. Big band compositions are generally like 5 to 10 minutes long. So you're trying to manage this energy over that 5 to 10 minutes. And I'd done a lot of that, and I was like, okay, cool. I feel a little like quite comfortable, I guess, handling this time frame. But then thinking just like away from the whole gig thing, I was just like somewhere in my car or something, I was just like, oh, well, it's kind of what you do in a movie, for example, is like they're handling momentum for over like an hour or 2 hours in a movie. You're sitting through and it's an experience from start to finish. And I was like, well, why can't an album be like that? And I guess that's the whole where concept albums come in, is like having a recurring, like an overall writing theme. And that just started to make sense in my head, and I wanted to have a go at trying to do that so that it was, yeah, something that was designed to run the whole way through rather than being individual separate tracks and it's like a stop, finish, restart kind of thing.
It has a wonderful sense to it when you listen to it, as I've done a couple of times now, from start to end.
Thanks.
It just continues on. It just feels right.
Awesome.
And, of course, you do have a couple of vocalists in the band for this recording as well.
Yeah, which is great. That's a whole new challenge, a whole new ball game, which I'm not experienced in, is writing music with words and lyrics and stuff like that. So that was an initial challenge that I put on myself to try and come up with something and see what that was like. I mean, that I wanted to do more of in the future, so I thought I'd better start somewhere. And fortunately, Josh and Georgie, the singers on the album, were willing to come along for the ride and try and sing my music.
It's been interesting listening around a couple of the jazz shows on Melbourne Radio. It seems the pieces have popped up. They've popped up, I've tuned in, I thought, oh, I recognise that, and I've only listened to it once or twice.
All right.
It must have something about that sound that grabs your ear, I think.
Good
so
sound.
You're launching that album at the...
Yes. At the Paris Cat. Yep, and that's on the 15th of August, which
is a Wednesday night.
Wednesday week, I think.
Yep, upstairs in the loft.
Upstairs.
It'd be a bit tight downstairs, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Band.
Can't wait, because it's like when we first started the band, we played at the Paris Cat quite regularly. It was our kind of like our main place to play. And that was, like I said, like in 2008 or ages ago, like 10 years ago. Serge and Liz there were so good to us and giving us opportunity to play and always have been encouraging and supportive of the band and any project that I put together. So when this opportunity came up to do the launch, I thought, oh, yeah, it would be great if I could get back and play at their club if they had me, and they were welcome. Very welcoming.
Excellent. That's good. Good to hear. What's next for Andrew Murray?
Oh, well, at the same time, we're playing once a month at the Jazz Lab, which is really fun because what we're doing is inviting other composers to write for the band for the first time, which is cool.
Did you find that difficult to give away that aspect of the band?
No, not at all.
No.
I'm very appreciative of other people doing the heavy lifting of the writing for me. And it's cool because people that perhaps haven't been the composers of choice that you would naturally think of around town perhaps, or maybe even just throwing it out there to people that maybe haven't done much of it, but I feel like they would come up with something interesting if they were to do it. And the whole concept of it was to try and come up with, I wanted to hear what they came up with this big band, so many options, so many possibilities, give them freedom to it and see what comes up with, so that I'm hearing new things as well and being inspired through their creativity.
Sounds good. Andrew, thank you so much for popping in. More details about the album launch at the Paris Cat on August 15th from pariscat.com.au, as well as tickets and things. Look forward to hearing much more from ATM15. And I don't think I've actually had much in the way of albums, so I must start featuring a little bit more of ATM15 on Bent Notes.
Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure indeed. I think we should have a listen to a bit more from the album, a little bit of more of a teaser for heading along on August 15th. Piece called There It Goes.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.